I don't know how many actually realize this or not, but we are actually in revival with our scheduled evangelists. The last three revivals in a row prior to this one, we scheduled them and prepared, and right before something happened, the evangelist couldn't make it. And we're actually in this revival. Isn't that great? Amen. And so we're really appreciative, Brother Martin, that you and your family made it. And I was almost reluctant to announce this revival and who the speaker was going to be. But we're here, and God's moving, and lives are being changed. Amen. I so appreciate the Martin family. They're coming right now. Our hearts are open, brother. Just God have his way.
Praise God. Praise God. And it's our privilege to be able to be here. I was thinking as they were singing, we were worshiping the Lord. You know, to know him is to love him. To know him and love him is to trust him. Amen. And to trust him is to be willing to serve him with all of our heart. I love him tonight. So grateful for this opportunity to be here. And thank you so much for all that you've done for us and making our time here such a blessing. And it has been a personal joy of ours as well to have my aunt and cousin, amen, here with us these few days. And I know last night, Ruth's husband was listening. He's had important board meetings that he had to attend at his job down in Houston. And so he was listening, and he said, well, he said, I got in late. And he said, I got in, and all I heard was Julie singing. And so it must have been a good service. Amen. But it certainly was a blessing to hear reports of what God has done. And we give God glory. Give him praise for his faithfulness. And there's nothing too hard for God. I'm grateful that my dad's going to be able to stay for a few more days, amen, Lord willing, and through Friday night, and so we're blessed by that. But so good to see all of you here on this Tuesday evening, and trusting the Lord to bless. Praise God. I'm looking forward to that. Praise God. We're going to quote tonight from Isaiah chapter 53. Amen. Praise God. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many,
and made intercession for the transgressors.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. What a Savior. What a wonderful Lord. Glory, glory, glory to God. Oh, we have reason to worship you tonight, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, right before Joy is going to testify for this song, but I just wanted to say I love him because he is my Savior. I worship him because he is my Savior. I also worship him because he is my healer. My healer today. I just felt so impressed to share my healing with you today. God miraculously, about 6 o'clock this morning, healed my body. I was in such excruciating pain. I found out that I've been in shingles. I've had shingles for 7 weeks. Since our last reservation, I had overdone it, and I knew I had, but I just had to keep pushing. And but God so miraculously healed
Thank
me.
You, Lord.
Oh, I tell you, the pain left just like that. Yes, I faced the enemy today. Yes, he's tried to put it back on me, but I believe him. I love my Jesus. He is my healer. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If you need healing tonight, he is your healer. I can tell you he is in the healing business. I also want to thank you. Usually by the time I testify, we're into worship. I want to thank you for loving the Martin family. You've loved us for many years, but you are showing it so much this week. We just feel your love. Thank you for loving our family from here in Texas. This is such a delight to us. We never get to have family fly into a church and be with us. And you have just loved them, and you've just accepted them as one of you. And we just thank you for that. We thank our family for coming. I also want to thank Joseph for being with us this week. I know some of you may not know it, but it's been almost 2 years since we've got to have Joseph with us, except for reservation work. And usually we're not singing as a family on reservation work. So if we sing quite a few of Joseph's older songs, that's, oh, I tell you, we're enjoying Joseph this week. I also wanted to share with you that we have our two oldest are married. We have 7 grandbabies now. We're so thankful to be grandparents. I just thought I needed to share a few things with you. Joseph and then Joanna and Jamin are at OBI. God shocked Joanna this summer and told her, she even told him at OBI, I was so shocked at 23 years old, God called her to OBI. And so she's enjoying this year at OBI. Judson is in Texas working with Brother Randy Snow, y'all know him, in his church. And God's just blessed the Martin family. And I just wanted to share a little bit. Usually now we just have 4 with us. Julie is our oldest one with us, Jaleesa, Jordan, and Joy. And we feel so blessed this week to be here with you. We're so glad that we didn't have to cancel the revival. We're so thankful to be with you. We feel honored to be with you here tonight. Praise God. Thank you for all you've done for us. Praise God. Joy, you want to testify?
Thinking about how so many people like live their whole life without doing anything for God, and I know it's such a blessing to be able to be this young and to still have God in your life. It's so good, and I'm so glad that I'm washed in the blood.
I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am saved, and I know that I am. I'll never be the same again. By His grace, thank God I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
It's a poor, lowly beggar, clothed in the tattered rags of my sin. But today I'll wear a wine robe of mercy. because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am saved and I know that I am. I'll never be the same again. By His grace, thank God I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
He bought me with price, He paid on Calvary. Oh, and now I'm on my way to heaven.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am saved and I know that I am. I'll never be the same again. By His grace, thank God I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
He bought me with price, He paid on Calvary. And now I'm on my way to heaven's glory land. The angels will step back as we start singing.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am saved and I know that I am. I'll never be the same again. By His grace, thank God I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the blood
of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am saved and I know that I am. I'll never be the same again. By His grace, thank God I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Washed in the blood, washed in the blood, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Thank you for being my Savior, my healer, my redeemer.
Amen. I'm glad to be washed in the blood. Aren't you?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Before church, as I was praying, this one of the phrases of Scripture came into my heart. And I didn't even know where it was, so I looked it up. And it was when Barnabas, whenever in the book of Acts, and Barnabas came to a group of people. And it said, and when he had came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord.
Amen.
And I love that. I love how that says that, that purpose of heart, because that's what it takes. Amen. But to know, but to cleave to the Lord, we have to know the Lord. And you know, and sometimes, I don't know if this happens to you, but sometimes in reading the Word or in hearing the songs and in knowing all that we know about the Lord, sometimes we just kind of read it kind of dry. You know, how many's ever been in your Bible reading and you're just got mindlessly reading and going through there? But how? But I wonder if we could get a fresh picture of Calvary tonight.
Oh, yes.
If we could see Calvary once again like it was, what would that do for us? I believe it would revive us. If we could instead, as they say, read between the lines. We're going to sing a song that says, read between the nails. I want us to get a glimpse of Calvary. Because I believe when we see Jesus once again, that we will be changed. That we won't want to live for ourselves. But that we will want with purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord. Worship the Lord with us this evening.
If a picture can speak a thousand words, then what would Calvary say? Oh, for God it painted a masterpiece For this world of his love to display from the canvas of the cross. The message came across through a broken body, so frail. All that anyone from anywhere at any time is able to read between the nails.
And between the nails is a story of a king who laid down his glory and became the sacrifice that would pay redemption's price. Now since curse is broken and all can be forgiven, that's the story between the nails. That's the story between the nails.
Now sin has taken and it shattered your dreams and left you feeling so all alone. Oh, and Satan, he's told you there's no use in trying. You're loved by no one. That's not the truth, 'cause there is a picture of God's love from the cross. The message still prevails. All that anyone from anywhere at any time is able to read between the nails.
And between the nails is a story of a king who laid down his glory and became the sacrifice that would pay redemption's price. Now since curse is broken and all can be forgiven, that's the story between the nails. That's the story between the nails.
Listen. Now sin has taken and shattered your dreams and left you feeling so all alone.
Oh, Jesus.
And Satan has told you there's no use in trying. You're loved by no one. Oh, but there is a picture of God's love from the cross.
Oh, yes.
The message, it still prevails. All that anyone from anywhere at any time is able to read between the nails.
And between the nails is a story of a king who laid down his glory broken, and all can be forgiven. That's the story between the nails. That's the story between the nails. Now since curse is broken,
hallelujah,
and all can be forgiven, that's the story between the nails. That's the story between the nails.
Hallelujah. Oh, let's give him glory today. Hallelujah. He has earned and deserved every praise we could ever offer him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He conquered sin. He conquered death. Hallelujah. Praise God for the power of the living God. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Blessed Redeemer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your worthy name. Glory to your worthy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't you appreciate the Lord's presence? Amen. The reminders of his love and his goodness to us. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. If you'll be turning with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter 32. While you're turning there, I want to begin to tell you a story. We were last year when we were in one of the Eskimo villages in Alaska, Joseph, Jamin, and I, it's the first time we'd ever been in this particular little village and a little place where you have to fly in there if you're going to get in there. And they had no pastor, had a little church building, but didn't have a pastor, not necessarily a little church building, had a large building because that was, provision was made for that, but didn't have very many people, amen, that would attend there. But we announced we were going to have children's service at 6 o'clock that night, and we flew in there that early that afternoon, on Monday afternoon. So they got on their VHF radios, and through the village they started passing the word around that we were going to be having special services there. And about 25 to 30 children showed up for the children's ministry, and we were glad about that. They did real good and ministered to them. And then we had announced that at 7 or 7:30 we'd be having adult service. And so at the adult service, we didn't announce it as an adult service. We just called it a revival service because they didn't have regular, as I said, they didn't have a pastor, so they didn't have regular preaching and so forth there. So anyway, came time and just a few of the children stayed around but then three adults showed up. Of course, the village wasn't all that large, about 175, something like that, people in the village. But about three adults showed up, and they all had their Bibles under their arms, and they were excited about somebody coming to preach to them. We had songs and songs and more songs. Those Eskimo people, they're used to being shut in, and they don't have, there's no McDonald's to run to. There's no malls to go shop at. I mean, so they do a lot of singing. They love singing. And so we sang and sang and sang some more, and it was time for us to sing. So we sang and preached, and it was time to preach. And I knew that the only message that God had given me for that service, I knew definitely the Lord wanted me to preach a message of his love and his salvation. But I thought, Lord, if I missed it, because these only three people here, and all of them are so exuberant, they testify clearly of their experience with the Lord, have I missed it? But all I knew to do was just go ahead and preach what God had given me to preach, And so
I stood up and started to preach, and 5 minutes into the message, the back door opened, and in walked a teenage girl. She sat down on the second row, and almost as soon as she sat down, she burst into tears. She put her head down, tried to compose herself, and then she raised her head back up and burst into tears again. And just a cycle of that throughout the rest of the message. At the end of the message, I gave the altar call, and she wasted no time. She got right up from where she was and came and knelt at the edge of the platform, similar to this right here, and began to pour out one of the most desperate cries I've ever heard from a human's voice. I've been at the scene of automobile accidents, and I've heard people screaming and crying, Brother Aaron. And that's not a pleasant experience. But I've never experienced anything as desperate as what that girl was. As she screamed and cried and for about 30 minutes. And then after about 30 minutes, she turned around and sat where she had been kneeling. And I noticed one of her shoelaces was missing out of her tennis shoes. And didn't think a lot about it because, especially in those Eskimo villages and remote places, they just make do with what they have. You know, they can't run and get something new every time a need arises. But I asked her, I said, What's the burden of your heart? What are you so desperate about? She said, oh, I just have to know that God would forgive me of all the wrong things I've done. Praise God. Began to share with her. Praise God. Scripture. I'll tell you more of that story in just a little bit. Reading from Psalm chapter 32, verse number 1. Psalm chapter 32 and verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Hallelujah. Also, while you're standing there, if you'd like to thumb over a little while to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Praise God. Praise God. Tonight I want to preach for a little while about freedom through forgiveness. Father, I want to thank you tonight for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for the challenge to worship you tonight, Lord. And we enter into that holiest place, Lord, where we see the blood has been sprinkled. Hallelujah. And that judgment seat becomes the mercy seat. Praise God. Because the blood has been sprinkled upon it. Thank you, Lord, for the provision that has been made for the forgiveness of our sin. And I thank you, Lord, for the freedom that brings to us tonight. Lord, I thank you for every individual that's gathered here this evening. We thank you, Lord, for every person. Thank you for Brother and Sister Hurst. Lord, I ask your special and abundant blessings upon them and upon their leadership and ministry at the church here. Lord, I pray for every worker, Lord, and every prayer warrior, everyone. Lord, those that are visiting here tonight as well, Lord, for your blessings upon us all. And unite our hearts, Lord, to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God in this service tonight. And Lord, we're claiming abundant fruitfulness, hallelujah, from the truths of the Word of God implanted in our hearts. It would build faith in our souls. And Lord, the application of it in our lives, that is something that will affect and color, Lord, our lives for the rest of our lives here, and certainly with gratitude throughout eternity. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To be forgiven indicates a wrong has been committed. A wrong has been committed. The chapter that we began with there in Psalms chapter 32 could very easily could see it lived out in the life of Adam, who was someone that wanted to be hidden, but instead of getting his sin hidden, he just tried to hide himself. You know, isn't that something? I've often told my children, if they feel like they have to hide to do what they are thinking about doing, that's a pretty good indicator that they shouldn't be doing it. And it's an indicator of a guilty conscience. Just like it was with Adam and Eve when they knew they had sinned. They knew that they had disobeyed the deliberate, purposeful word that God had given to them. But they felt in their shame and their guilt, they felt the inclination to go and hide themselves away. Why is it that secrecy, amen, is the power of sinfulness? The power of temptation has its grip through secrecy, amen, to try to hide away. But I'll tell you tonight, amen, the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Praise God. And so I want you to notice with me tonight, amen, first of all, I want you to consider with me, amen, a comparison that we have in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to remind you tonight that it's because of Jesus, amen, for Christ's sake, that God is willing to forgive us. Every one of us here tonight all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have offended, amen, with a high hand and with boldness and with antagonism and many other things we could describe it. Amen. We have offended the awesome, almighty, holy God. Amen. We have wounded and grieved him and broken his heart. Oh, how many times have we done it? Can you number how many times you've done it? I don't think I could. But God, for Christ's sake, the scripture says, has forgiven us. Hallelujah. How can God forgive sins? Amen. How can God be just? Amen. As I began to speak with Juanita, amen, as she knelt there, sat there where she had been kneeling, and I said, the scripture says, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to tell you, friend, my hallelujah. I'm glad I have that kind of a message to tell. I'm glad I have the joy, amen, of delivering a message like that to a brokenhearted, amen, overwhelmed with sorrow and grief and remorse and guilt. Amen. To tell a girl, praise God, no matter what you've done, hallelujah, there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. I reminded her, like D.L. Moody said in that verse, I have a part and God has a part. If I'll do my part, God will do his part. If I'll confess my sin, he'll be faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I want to just ask you tonight, how many of you have the assurance that God does what he says he'll do? Hallelujah. You confess. You admitted. You confessed and acknowledged. I have sinned. I have sinned. I've done wrong. I was wrong. Sometimes that's the hardest words for us to say, is I was wrong. But only through that pathway can we experience the blessing of his forgiveness. May I remind you that for the sake of the great atonement which Christ has offered, amen, we can be forgiven tonight. Through this, for the sake of the atonement, amen, as you look in your Bible, amen, the word forgive, and it's cognates, it's one words that are similar, amen, used 108 times in your Bible, praise God, and many of those is in relation to the Levitical offerings. The offerings that were given, amen, was a continual thing. He said, offer this sacrifice and your sin will be forgiven you. Offer this sacrifice and your sins will be forgiven you. I want to remind you tonight, hallelujah, that the only way you can be forgiven tonight, it's not that God says, oh, I'll just dismiss it. It wasn't no big deal. That's not the way it was. When you look at Calvary, most of the time, amen, we see Calvary, and it really is a beautiful picture of God's love for us, but it's also, amen, a graphic illustration of God's hatred for sin. It's how horrible and deplorable and despicable, amen, sin is, that it would cost a price like this to be able to absolve us and relieve us of our sin only through the sacrifice of the spotless Lamb of God. Oh, think of the cost. Any of you here raise cattle? I know my cousin does. She says that's a good way to have a tax write-off. It's not a very good business, but can you imagine every time you sinned? We'll just use just a simple number, but say it cost you $500 every time you sinned. Pull it out of your checking account. $500. I mean, when they sinned, they had to bring an animal out of their flock, and that was their money on the hoof. I mean, that was their means of money. That was their livelihood. It wasn't just some insignificant thing. Oh, no big deal. Just go get one. I mean, every one of them, amen, amounted to their wealth. That was their inheritance that they were planning to. That was what their living was. I want to tell you, friend, amen, it was no small price, amen, that Jesus offered, amen, in behalf of our sin. It was no small price, my friend. I don't know, amen, that we would understand again, amen, the price that he paid for our souls. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. There's a lot we could say, but I want to hasten on and remind you, amen, that there's a comparison made here. That in view of the fact, oh, I tell you what, as I begin to tell Juanita about that provision of God's word, amen, that through because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, because he had already borne the shame and the guilt, amen, he was the sin offering for us. Though he suffered the penalty, he was not personally guilty, but it laid upon him the iniquity of us all, amen, as the scapegoat, as the priest would lay his hand upon the scapegoat and confess the sins of the people. Praise God. I want to tell you what, amen, at Calvary, amen, God put upon Jesus, amen, not that Jesus had committed our crimes and our sins, but the Lord laid upon him, amen, and put upon him, amen, and confessed upon him the iniquities, not just of me, that would be enough, amen, to be horrible, but every one of us combined, amen, were laid upon our Savior that day. No wonder, as he anticipated, amen, that cup that he was about to have to drink, amen, when he was in the garden, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I do what, amen, to bear that, but he was willing. Thank God he was willing, and God today, for Christ's sake, is willing and able to be righteous and just to forgive us. I love him. I love him because he first loved me. I love him for that today, don't you? But we have, as I told her that, amen, and described to her the provision God had made for her salvation. Amen. She was ready to pray again, but this time it wasn't so much just a venting of her desperation. This time, there was a focus of faith, amen, that realized that it wasn't just a pouring out and a venting of the
overwhelming emotions that she felt of guilt and shame. But today, amen, she knew that as she knelt and she began to confess to the Lord, amen, I didn't hear the details of her confession. That was not the important part, amen. But the important part was that she spoke it into the ears of the one whom she had offended. Amen. She had offended the Almighty God. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And as she did so, it was with the focus of faith. And my, she prayed. And what a glorious, wonderful presence. Well, I'll tell you what, she raised her head with a sense of peace and assurance that was just wonderful. Oh, hallelujah to God. I'll finish more of that story in a minute. But here, the Bible says here, amen. The Bible says here, we're to be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. There is a comparison made that most of us, if not all here, but most of us here tonight have experienced the forgiveness of sin. But the Lord uses, through the Apostle Paul, a challenge to us and reminds us that we are to forgive others even as. Wow. Fully, completely, freely. Amen. Hallelujah. Divinely. Someone has said, I believe it was Alexander Pope, if I'm not mistaken, to err is human. To forgive is divine. Amen. And it's an evidence of the reality of what God has done in our heart that causes us and empowers us and enables us to forgive others. Jesus illustrated this in Matthew chapter number 18. And I want to look there just for a little while here tonight. Matthew chapter number 18, where Jesus was speaking there to his disciples, and the Bible says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? It's like he got out his little notepad, you know. Okay, Lord, I got my ink pen. How many times do I have to forgive my brother? He had a brother, you know. Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. You just need to get a bigger notepad, Peter. You think that's what he was saying? You're going to have to get maybe a backup supply of ink pens to keep marking the little 1, 2, 3, 4/. Keep on until you get how many? 490. Okay. All right, Peter. That's all right, Peter. You're doing good. Here you are at 475, 476, 477. And Peter, you can get excited because you're getting ready to have to be at the end of your limit. You think that's what Jesus was saying? I don't think so. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now according to Haley's Bible handbook, 10,000 talents, a talent is equivalent to $1,000. So 10,000 of those would be more than my bank account has ever shown, but $10 million. Okay? $10 million. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his
fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And according to the same source, Haley's Bible Handbook, a pence is equivalent to something a whole lot less. According to Haley's Bible Handbook, it's equivalent to 17 cents. And so 100 of those would be only $17. So you've got $10 million as compared to $17. Okay? $10 million that was owed to the king, $17 that was on the horizontal level, a fellow servant. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me." How much was it? $10 million. "Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So we see before us tonight the comparison of forgiveness. I want to go further. I want to talk to you about the choice of forgiveness. The choice. It's a choice you make whether or not you will forgive your brother or sister. It's a choice that you are confronted with. It's not a matter of if there'll ever be anybody offend me or do me wrong. That's not the point. The point is, what will you do when it happens? The choice. I looked at Juanita, and I said to Juanita, I said, "Juanita, I feel like taking you a step further." I said, "I don't always do this, but I feel inclined to do so." I said, I've got you. You are confident. You're assured that God has forgiven you of your sins." And oh, yes, she was. She was so thankful. I said, "But I need to ask you to go a step further. Now, will you choose to forgive whoever for whatever?" She looked at me intently. She turned her face away from me over toward the wall. And I have no way of knowing what all she was thinking. But I do know enough about what goes on in those remote Eskimo villages that it very likely wasn't a pretty picture. But as I saw her, she looked, and for a little while, I don't know how long it was, but then she swung her face back toward me with a look of resolution, and she set her jaw, and she looked at me, and she said, "Yes, I choose to forgive whoever for whatever." Glory to God. And my, we talked just a little bit, and we prayed again. And before, she had peace, but when she got through praying this time, she had joy. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. There was a joy that radiated from her spirit. She came in downcast and brokenhearted. Amen. But now there was a sweet joy, a look upon her face, a sweet smile. We got a picture, amen, of her after at the back of the church later. Amen. With the sweetest smile across her face.
Praise God, I want to tell you tonight, amen, there is a choice you can make based on the reality. You say, you don't know what all's happened to me. I may not, and I'm sure I'd weep a bushel of tears if I knew what all had happened, but I don't. But I do know that in comparison with what we need God to forgive us of, amen, anything that happens on a human level, amen, is a comparison, amen, like 10 million to $17. Amen. Oh, God, give you grace tonight. God, give me grace tonight to make the choice. I choose to release it. I choose to let it go. I choose to forgive instead of harboring resentment and bitterness and anger. I was talking to a young boy, Dean, up in another Eskimo village of Deering, Alaska. He said he was abused by his uncle till he was 17 years old. He said, but now I'm just waiting for my grandpa to die so I can do that uncle in. I said, listen, buddy, that's not the answer. You need to learn, amen, that God loves you enough to forgive you of all the wrong things you've done. And then he would give you the grace. Amen. I'm talking about God does not call you to do that, amen, before he is willing to forgive you. He says, I'm willing to forgive you. And then as you experience my forgiveness, then you have an understanding and a power to reach out and forgive others. And it's so essential that we do that. It's so necessary. Freely we've received. Freely give. Praise God. Praise God. The choice. The choice. You're making it. Some of you very likely have struggled with that choice. Some of you very likely, every time you hear a certain name, or you remember a certain experience, boy, it just stirs up within you, amen, a boiling pot of resentment and anger, amen. But tonight, I'm saying by the virtue of the fact that God says, for Christ's sake, I'm willing to forgive you of every wrong thing you've ever done, that on that foundation, you can look at anybody and everybody and say, I choose to forgive. Wasn't it Corrie Ten Boom? I don't remember the details of it. I've read it and heard it, but Corrie Ten Boom, that one night after her release from the concentration camps in Germany for their part in protecting the Jewish people, she had watched her own sister Bessie terribly abused and then died there in the concentration camp. And one night she had gotten up and she had spoken about forgiveness and so forth. And as she was greeting people as they were leaving, she noticed in the line was one of the men who was one of the guards that was responsible, she felt like, for the death of her sister. She knew, I've got to make a choice here. And some of you may remember the books and the things, may remember more details than I do, but just suffice it to say, amen, that when he came, amen, and stuck it out his hand to her, she was able to say, I forgive you. Glory to God. I want to tell you something. I'm not talking about something human. I'm not talking about something that you just work it up, amen, and just try to block it out of your mind. I'm talking about something when you realize that the price that Jesus paid for our soul and the willingness that he has, instead of condemning us to hell for eternity that he'd have ever right to do, he's willing to wipe our slate clean, hallelujah, and give us a brand new start. Thanks be to God, hallelujah, and that choice you can make. I'm telling you tonight, there is a freedom that comes through forgiveness. I've talked to you about the comparison. Amen. I've talked to you about the choice of forgiveness. But I want to remind you at the end here tonight that there is a conquest through forgiveness. There is victory. There is freedom. There is a release that comes. Hallelujah to God. Amen. The Bible says that this man that did not forgive was delivered to the tormentors.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of people sitting on church pews that live in torment, amen, mentally and emotionally and spiritually, because they're harboring things in our hearts. I'm talking about a revival that reaches down into our heart and gets a hold, amen, of that spirit of unforgiveness, and that says, God, I believe. You know what we do a lot of times? We just chase those tormentors around. We have problems with this. We have problems with our marriage. Have problems with our kids. We have problems with finances. We have problems on the job. Have problems here and there. And we try to target those little things. Amen. This little skirmishes, but doesn't deal with the root of it. Amen. But the root of it, amen, sometimes is that attitude of unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness. But God wants to set you free tonight. Hallelujah to God. Amen. There's people that have been controlled and give evidences, amen, of power of Satan working in their lives. I'm telling you tonight, if you'll make that choice, amen, I choose to release it. I choose to forgive. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel that so strongly in my heart tonight. Glory to God. God's willing to forgive us. Why should we not be willing to forgive others? Thank God. Thank God. Read the story about a fellow by the name of Hugh Glass in 1822 who answered an advertisement in the Missouri Gazette for someone to go on a three-month trapping expedition to the Rocky Mountains. And several guys responded. Hugh Glass was one of them. And make a long story short, one of the fellows, Hugh Glass, was assigned to go on a hunting, you know, exploration, go out and get some food for him and for the group. And he went out there and he got between a mama grizzly and her two cubs. That grizzly mauled him horribly, tore his scalp off and broke his leg and gouged him and just ripped his back to shreds. And it wasn't a pretty picture. And finally, some of the other men found him and they came and laid him on a buffalo robe, the story says, and trappers felt like they needed to go on, so the leader of the bunch said, this was in August, the leader of the bunch said, I'll pay if two of you guys will stay behind and sit by this guy until he dies and give him a decent burial, we'll give you extra money. So there's two young boys. Jim Bridger was one of them, 19 years old, and another guy, I can't remember his name, but volunteered. They'd take the extra money and sit by the guy till he died. After 3 days, he still wasn't dead. The other guy talked to Jim Bridger. He said, let's leave this old guy. He's not far from dying. We'll leave him here by this grave that we've already dug for him. We'll leave him right here by it. We'll go on, catch up with our team. They decided to do that. So they took this guy's knife and the gun that he loved so much. They took it. They abandoned him with the guy crying out, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. They did anyway. They walked on. The guy said later, Hugh Glass said later, he was motivated by such a hatred for those two boys. He said, that's probably what sparked in him the spunk. I'm not going to die. I'm going to catch up with those boys. And I'm going to get even with them. That was in August that happened. But the story says that man crawled and walked and floated down rivers for over 200 miles looking. No one had an idea where those guys were going. He said, I'm going to find them. Finally, it was almost Christmas time. When he came close to the Bighorn River, and he came up on a clearing. He had been following their trail. And he saw where some cabins were, where those trappers had set up their little crude cabins. He asked around and found out which cabin Jim Bridger was bunked in. He went there and he threw open the door. And when he threw open the door, he wasn't expecting to see what he saw. He saw a crude manger and a little rag doll representing the Christ child laying in that crude manger, trying to celebrate a little idea of Christmas. And he said later, he said, all the hatred and the venom in my heart leaked out of me. And he said, I looked at Jim Bridger, that boy, that teenage boy that took my knife and took my gun and abandoned me for dead. And he said, if a God loves me enough to send his only begotten son to die for me, how can I come and kill you? He said, I forgive you. Woo! I want to tell you tonight, glory to God. It may not be something that comes natural for you, but that's why we're talking about a supernatural power that God can work into a heart. Oh, I tell you what, after Juanita got up from that altar of prayer and she walked back toward the back of the building, one of the three adults that was there walked up to me, a man. He said, Brother Martin, he said, I know you don't have any way of knowing this because this is the first day we ever saw you and you ever saw us. He said, but this 18-year-old girl is my daughter. He said, this afternoon, she took her shoelace and a rope and locked herself in her room and was planning to end her own life. She started calling out to her younger sister, you can have everything that's mine, everything I've got, you can have it. I won't need it anymore. And he said, I knew we were in trouble. But he said, I went and broke through the door and I got those things away from her. He said, but by what mercy could it be? I won't ever forget how he said that. By what mercy could it be? That he said, I could tell my 18-year-old girl that was at that point of desperation, I heard they're having church tonight. Hallelujah. In a place where we don't have regular services, in a place where we don't have a preacher. Amen. But I heard on a Monday night we're going to have church. Praise God. Would you come on down? And then to see her experience the grace of God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you what, there's victory. Amen. For souls that experience the forgiveness of God. Amen. And then choose on the basis of God's forgiveness to forgive whoever for whatever. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight?
Praise God.
Oh, God. Who can measure a love like God's love for our souls? The compassion, the mercy. Him withholding from us the judgment that we so much deserve. Telling you what, if you're here tonight and you say, I don't feel like God would ever forgive me, then can I ask you, why is it that you have a drawing to come into this service tonight? If it was not a testimony of the fact that God in his infinite love is continuing to draw you and woo you to himself. He loves you. Oh, if it was just me trying to come up with enough love to forgive for all the wrongs that you may have done, I might come up short. But when you look at the cross of Calvary and you see the infinite price that was paid, where God could be just, could be faithful
and just. God could be absolutely right. No one could point a finger and say, God, you messed up. You didn't execute the full penalty of that person's sin. All he has to do is point one more finger back to Calvary and say, oh, yes, I did. The price has been paid. The penalty has been exacted. I can forgive anyone that'll confess and ask me to forgive them. I can do it. Tonight, would you say, Lord Jesus, I'm depending upon you. I know I don't deserve your mercies. Maybe you feel like that publican that came into the temple to pray. And you feel so broken and so ashamed that you feel like I don't even deserve to even lift up my face. But I feel like beating upon my chest and saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I can assure you, He will have mercy. He will have mercy. We're opening this altar right now. Would you come on? Come on. He's merciful. Though we have slighted Him, still He is waiting the penitent child to receive. Oh, how many times have we talked about the story in Luke 15 about that prodigal son, and we talk about that father that was such a generous giver to his son, wasn't he? I mean, just open-handedly gave him, distributed to him his living. But that's not what makes us love that father so much, is it? It wasn't his generous giving. It was his gracious forgiving. Oh, I'll tell you what will make you love the Father tonight is realizing how much He's willing to forgive you of. Glory to God. And it'll bond you to Him like never before. Praise God. If you're here tonight, you say, I know I've sinned. I know I've walked away. I know I've not been what I need to be. I know I've done wrong. But tonight I come, Jesus, just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. Hallelujah. But a step further tonight. You're here tonight. You say, oh, I believe. I've confessed my sins to Jesus and I've asked Him to forgive me. But I'm up at a crisis moment in my life tonight. I have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. Will I forgive? Will I forgive whoever? For whatever. You can make that choice tonight. You can settle it in God's presence. You can settle it. And then however God leads you to go from there. But you can purpose. And you'll leave here tonight with the conquering victory in your soul. Praise God. The conquest of forgiveness. The assurance. The peace. That passes all understanding. God in His mercy. Let's come around this altar for prayer tonight. Hallelujah. Help these young people, Lord, in their relationships with parents, with siblings, with friends, Lord. Help our Lord, help husbands and wives where there's been offenses and hurts and disappointments and hurt. Oh God, let there be a response to this, Lord. I choose, Lord. Oh God, I plead the blood tonight. I plead the blood over every soul here tonight, Lord. I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl. I pray, Lord, that, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen. Clear the record tonight, my friend. Clear the record tonight. Praise God. As far as you can't always affect how the results and the consequences of what people have done, you can't always relieve them of all of that, but in your own heart you can pray like Jesus prayed, hanging on that middle cross. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Oh God, it's a choice we make. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Grace tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, yes. Tonight's a night of victory for you. Tonight's a night of victory for you. Tonight's a night. Amen. When you come out of the prison house, you come away from the tormentors. They have no more effect upon you. Hallelujah to God. A new freedom in your soul. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Like you.